It's Saturday, July 23rd, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
Everything Digital Podcast, and the end of an incredibly slow news week. I'm sure you noticed as well, but minimal posts on everythingdigital.org, and took me a while to gather all the material that I was able to find for this podcast. Not a whole lot going on. Some interesting rumors about a video iPod. A couple other interesting things popped up, but nothing really major this week, so... I think we'll just go into it then. This intro music is from the Mosby Group. This is North Star, of course, off GarageBand.com, and I'm not using the PodSafe Music Network yet. I know other podcasters are already, but I looked at it, and I don't know. It didn't really strike me as something I'd want to switch over to immediately. The straight access to MP3s was very limited, I'm sticking with GarageBand for now because it's been a very great resource for PodSafe Music for a long time, and I'm gonna keep using it. Anyway, got some 5 second news headlines here for you. Microsoft has said that its next version of Windows, currently described only by its code name Longhorn, will be dubbed Windows Vista. Google has introduced a countersuit to Microsoft's current lawsuit against the company's hiring of a Microsoft former vice president. Cisco, the maker of Linksys wireless base stations, is in the process of acquiring the private startup KISS Technology for $61 million. Finger Gear's new computer on a stick offers a bootable Linux operating system as well as OpenOffice contained on a small flash drive. And MSN Search has been reported to have had a 4% decrease in usage during the second quarter of 2005, while Google had a 6% increase. And those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. Alright, so first item of news tonight, and it is tonight for me, it's 11:19 here, West Coast US, and hopefully I'll be able to get this out by 12, although I'll probably still make it the Saturday cast even even if it is 12:02 by the time I post it. But beginning with the news here, the video iPod, something that has definitely been rumored for a long time, has had some confirmations as far as what is actually happening behind those oh-so-secretive doors at Apple Computer. First of all, we know that iTunes can play videos. It's had that ability since May, and they haven't been doing a whole lot with it so far except offering some... Alright, GarageBand is not cooperating tonight. Oh, boy. Anyway, as I was saying, they haven't done too much. They've offered some promotional videos with songs that they had up for download. But other than that, not a whole lot of extension. Of course, some podcatchers can sync with iTunes, like iPodRx, and bring videos like Rocket Boom and other vlogs into iTunes. So it's useful for that. But Apple itself has not done a whole lot with it yet. Well, record labels have reported an increased demand from Apple for music videos for the iTunes Music Store, which is quite interesting because it could definitely open up a market for just music videos being sold alongside songs. So why buy the song when you can buy the song with a video? Apple has told the media that an iPod with the capability to play video may be available as early as September, which is definitely a new piece of information and something that Apple doesn't often do. Is tell outright how soon their new products are going to come out. Usually they just like to spring them on everybody. Of course, everybody will have already heard by the rumors. But as far as Apple's concerned, they like to make them a surprise. So first of all, the action on Apple's part to admit that a video iPod is in the works, something that Steve Jobs has been a little iffy about since his theory of the iPod is a true audio-playing device, something that's true to the ability to play audio, something that audio is the killer app, and it plays audio very well. It doesn't worry about any other sort of extensive and unneeded functions. Now, of course, the iPod Photo changed that a bit, and an iPod Video could certainly change it a lot. But the what I think the reason is Apple has suffered some criticism lately as to being carried only by the iPod, and there's some skepticism as to how far the bubble, the iPod bubble, is going to last for Apple. So maybe by introducing video at this point, saying, yes, we do have video coming, coming in September, there will be a whole, you know, revolution as far as iPods are concerned, they're holding on to the iPod bubble. They're trying to inflate the iPod bubble even more, or at least keep it inflated until September. They're trying to sort of introduce something new, get the investors happy, get the media all on this new video iPod that's coming out, to sort of push more weight into the iPod and make it look more stable. And it certainly will be more stable once a video version of it is introduced. So a good move on Apple's part, sort of foregoing their usual secrecy and trying to help the iPod line to continue its success. So we'll see how it turns out, because definitely the effect is better when you get to September, you don't know anything about it, and all of a sudden, video iPod, everybody go buy it. But now that we've got advanced warning, I wonder how that's going to play out. Also, industry insiders believe, and this is something that the general public has been believing for quite a while, that Apple is developing an iTunes movie store or something similar, not necessarily called the iTunes movie store, although that would be a thoroughly convenient name for it. Another piece of news here, this one involves Skype, our favorite internet telephony service. They are undergoing internal testing for Skype video. A Skype team member, Nicholas Zenstrom, and board member Tim Draper recently concluded a hour-long interview with Skype. The interview was actually in front of a conference of 200 people in Stanford, California. And they were able to chat for an hour via video over Skype. And they just used standard PCs with webcams. And they were able to chat all the way from... I think Skype is based in Amsterdam. I'm not sure about that, but it's definitely far away from Stanford, California, wherever they're based. So Skype video is still in internal testing. But this was the first public demonstration of it. Definitely more public announcements and demonstrations coming soon, with a public release, hopefully sometime in the future. The Skype blog keeps hinting about it at share.skype.com. You can follow it there. I've certainly been following it. But Skype video, something I'm sure all Skype users are looking forward to, because it's been such a great service for audio. Video would be great, and especially as an alternative to iChat, which has not been the best for me lately. I can only do the video on my G4, and on my G4, because it's Tiger, it's got some weird bug with the new version of iChat where it crashes when people try to contact me. Not necessarily always, just sometimes. I think it depends on what client they're using, but not exactly the best representation of iChat in my view. So Skype video will definitely be a welcome change. Although I will, of course, still use iChat for normal text and on my laptop. All right. I had to pause it there for a second, get rid of the lag in my ear. I sometimes think about just not doing this playthrough at all, just to get rid of this stupid software lag, although then I wouldn't be able to hear the music, so there's got to be some way to work that out. I think recording externally might work, but then that involves a whole lot mess of cables and devices. So, anyway, a large upsurge in legal music downloads has been registered in the first half of 2005. Apparently, legal downloads have tripled to 180 million in the aforementioned first half. Illegal file sharing has also increased by only 3%, which is 30 million downloads in the same period of time. The reason cited as the main reason by surveyed users was a fear of legal action. More than 300 online music stores currently exist. Definitely a lot cropping up in recent months as a result of this increase. And, of course, the iTunes Music Store, top of the market as always, has recently celebrated its 500 billionth song purchased and downloaded. And yes, I did try for those 10 iPods, I don't know, a trip to see Coldplay backstage, tons of Apple merchandise, 10,000, or no, 10, I don't know, free iTunes songs for life, basically, gift certificate, and all that prize pool at 500 billion, but sadly, no. I don't know who I'd give 10 iPods to anyway. But good news for the legal download industry, and good news as far as getting illegal file sharing, getting it away from, or getting file sharing in general away from the illegal music sharing, so that it can maybe open up into more of a legal method of distributing files, and possibly a more formidable method for distributing podcasts if we can arrange some sort of BitTorrent standard. Got some PodSafe music for you here. This is from GarageBand.com. This is something I just ran across, and I've really been liking it. I listened to it, of course, I listened to all the songs before I put them on a show, but this was one I especially liked, so enjoy. This is from Longview. This is High Tide on the Everything Digital Podcast.
Coming in, I got no time for fiasco and the last trust. problem.
Is High Tide from Longview. So, AMD is sponsoring the North American Solar Challenge. The goal of the challenge is to design, build, and race a solar-powered car across the U.S. and Canada. The race is a 2,500-mile race from July 17th to July 27th, and this year, 20 teams are competing. So the organizers of the race were provided, since it's sponsored by AMD, they were provided with 5 HP Pavilion ZE200Z laptop computers, and of course those computers were used to monitor safety, inspection information, time trial results, as well as GPS data coming in from the vehicles. Some really amazing vehicles were built, actually. CNET had some pictures up earlier, but I can't link to them because they were gone when I checked back. Don't know what happened to those, but I'm sure you can find some pictures somewhere on the internet. I've got a link to a story, which probably has links to some pictures. Didn't check it out that thoroughly. But the interesting thing is that currently clouds and rain are posing threats to the cars, as they sweep over the course. So basically, they were immobilized while the clouds passed over. Still shows the weakness of solar energy, although, of course, the cars are motoring along with no exhaust. So they were able to successfully reach Winnipeg, Canada, and just have a few more days left now as they proceed through the Canada portion of the course. So interesting thing to keep an eye on. Amazing to see vehicles that are, you know, don't need any refueling, just sit out there and recharge on the sun and go. Even though when the clouds come over they suffer, still is quite amazing. PlayStation, or Sony, has made some announcements recently concerning the PlayStation console and the PlayStation Portable. Just got a lot of news here, just going to roll through it. First of all, Sony has acquired SN Systems and formed corporate alliances with Havok, Aegea Technologies, and Epic Games in accordance with their plan for PS3 development. Also, there have been some worries about development costs for PS3 game console games. currently, console games cost an average of about $10 million for one game. But in the future, with the PSP, they could cost as much as $15 or $20 million. So definitely something for game developers to worry about there. And I'm sure Sony is doing all they can to make it easy for them, but some worry obviously spreading through the industry. A white version of the PSP has also been released. A little more of that PlayStation news. The white version is going to be released at in Japan on September 15th, and the new color of the PSP will also include a new update to the operating system that comes with it, giving it a web browser, definitely an improvement that people have been waiting for a while, and access, of course, via a Sony service to TV programs. I'm sure that will be a pay service, but TV on your PSP, not bad. And I don't know exactly what the details are on the web browser. Either it's going to be completely free, open, you know, you find a wireless hotspot, find some internet somewhere, and it will just work, you get on the web, or, and this is of course the more proprietary and more user intimidating model, but Sony could end up charging for all web browser access that takes place on all PSPs anywhere, and of course they'd make a lot of money, users would be very irritated, and it doesn't matter because they made a lot of money, because people want to have a web browser on their PSP, but first they've got to improve that text entry system, because I've used it and it really is horrible entering characters on the PSP. It uses like a phone-style text entry system. Why not just have a full keyboard and let people use the analog stick or something to scan across it? But, oh, I don't know. I guess there's keyboards on their way, but I don't think a web browser is really viable without a proper text entry system. But we'll see how Sony decides to structure it coming September 15th. Also, one final bit of news here. Google has announced their Google Moon service, and this is something I had up on everythingdigital.org a couple days ago. It allows a Google Maps-style browser browsing of the moon's surface. So you can actually scan over the surface of the moon, and you can view the various points where lunar landings took place. There's little Google Maps pins or waypoints there, and it has a little description of the landing when it was when it took place, and what number or what Apollo it was. And it was also it was released in commemoration of the first moon landing, which was, of course, on July 20th, 1969. So it was a little commemorative move on the part of Google. And why don't you, if you do decide to go visit it, which it's at moon.google.com, or there's a link in the show notes, why don't you try zooming in all the way? There's a nice surprise or Easter egg waiting for you there. And I won't spoil it for you. Got some outro music here. This is from Mistura. This is Coast to Coast. All right, so you can post comments at everythingdigital.org. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital podcast, the podcast-only version with only the MP3 files at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml if you aren't already subscribed. And you can subscribe to the podcast and text news version at everythingdigital.org/weblog/index.xml if you also want to receive the various text-based posts that I put up on the site. My email is alan@everythingdigital.org. My Skype ID is everythingdigital. My AOL Instant Messenger IM name is podcaster. And you can call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337 and leave an audio comment. So, also, of course, as always, the $10 for one show sponsorship still stands if anybody's interested. If you've even listened this far through my whole outro sequence, maybe I should cut that down a bit. Nevertheless, thanks for listening and stay subscribed. We'll try to get this up in the next 17 minutes I've got left before midnight.